Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Here once again, our gospel reading from Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. When the disciples of Jesus and those women who followed him witnessed his crucifixion, his suffering, his death, this led them to despair. This led them to weep, for their Lord was dying. And then also on this day, as they went to visit him, to prepare his body with spices, when they found the tomb empty and his body not there, they didn't quite know what to make of it right away, but rather there was a lot of confusion. They were perplexed, and when they saw the angels, they were frightened. So they were in despair when they saw the death of the Lord. They were confused. They were frightened when they saw the empty tomb at first. But then what did the angels say to them? Remember. Remember all the things that he spoke to you before. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered these words. Even if it didn't make sense when they didn't remember the words, when Jesus' promises weren't at the forefront of their minds, when they remembered Jesus' promise, and then when they remembered his resurrection, it all clicked. It all made sense. And the words of the angels to the women on that first Easter morning are the same message that you have today as well. Remember all the things that your living Lord has spoken to you. Remember that he said it was necessary for him to suffer and die. Remember that he said he would rise again. And remember that he says, because of this, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is atoned for. You have his righteousness. You have his life. Because he is risen, you will arise as well. Remember all the things he spoke to you. Remember all the things he did for you. Remember what he has promised to do for you in the future. And though the women and the disciples despaired on that day of Jesus' death, when we remember that Jesus said that all of this was necessary for our salvation, we see the cross in a whole new light. It wasn't just random or haphazard. It wasn't a failure of Jesus, but rather it is the time when he conquered. He said that it was necessary. It was necessary for him to take on your sin onto himself, take on your suffering onto himself, and pay for it on the cross. Die your death in your place in order that you might have his life. It was necessary. And he did all of these things, not randomly or accidentally or haphazardly, but according to the will of God, according to his great and abundant mercy for you. Christ willingly took all these things upon himself. Christ willingly took on your sin. Christ willingly took on the cross, dying your death, embracing the shame. And he did it for you. He did it out of love for you, with you at the forefront of his mind, the entire time. And when he had done all that was necessary for your salvation, when he cried out from the cross, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit, it was all accomplished. Everything necessary for your salvation was done. But in his resurrection, everything necessary for your eternal life comes to happen. Having paid the penalty for our sin, he did not stay dead. But as St. Paul says in Romans 6, verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And bursting forth from the tomb, from death into life once again, he reigns victorious. He reigns victorious over sin, death, and he crushes Satan under his feet. Remember that this is what he has done for you. Remember he promised he was going to rise again. Remember that he has. Remember that your Lord is living. Remember that your Lord is reigning. And he promises that what is true of him on Easter Day, that he is no longer dead but arisen, he promises that this is true for you as well. This is what St. Paul again says in Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. By faith, you are joined to Christ's death and therefore joined to his resurrection as well. In your baptism, you are buried with Christ in his death and therefore will also rise with him as well. And what a wonderful thing that we got to see that with our very own eyes this morning with Grant and Grayson. What a wonderful gift given to them this morning. What a wonderful gift given to you at your baptism to be buried with Christ in his death so that you have the seal, the promise that you will be raised with him in his resurrection. And this promise that you will be raised with him even if you face death is your consolation, is your hope as you face everything in this life. This is your trust in the face of hardship, despair, suffering, even death itself. Do you remember how the disciples reacted when the women first told them about what they had seen? Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. At first, these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Christ, risen from the dead, seems too good to be true. We saw him die. We saw him suffer. It seems to us an idle tale, too good to be true, that he is risen from the dead. But thanks be to God that he had mercy on his disciples and he appeared to them personally. He showed himself to them, spoke to them, proved that he was alive, proved that he was not just a spirit, but actually the flesh and blood risen Jesus. And he appeared to over 500 disciples before he ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, he sent them. He sent them with a mission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the end of the age. He sent them to bring the word of his resurrection to all the world. And the only way that they could possibly do that, the only way that they could possibly do anything, is with the confidence of his resurrection for them. Because when they were still doubting, where they were still in their own heads, they were cowards. They didn't want to go out and do anything. They would have been terrified to face any kind of opposition. But knowing that Christ is risen from the dead and knowing that they rise again with him, they were able to do what the Lord had called them to do. They could bring the word to all the world, even in the face of opposition, persecution, when authorities and leaders said, "We will kill you if you keep preaching the name of Jesus." The resurrection of Christ allowed them to boldly continue preaching. There's nothing else but the resurrection that could have given them that confidence. There's nothing else but the resurrection that could have given them that boldness of faith. That because Christ is risen, you know that even if you face death, you will have life forever with him. All of us who have been baptized into his death will join with him in his resurrection. So when the disciples were able to face opposition, when they were able to face authorities telling them that they would be facing certain death if they preached the name of Christ, you know that you too can face whatever is going to happen to you in this life with confidence that you have life forever with Christ. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8. That no person we face in this life can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No person can take away Christ's resurrection for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then also he goes on to promise that no thing in this life can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Even sickness, suffering, death itself, when you face it right before your very eyes, none of these things can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is your hope. This is your confidence that all who believe in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. So when a loved one suffers and dies right before your very eyes, and this causes despair, this causes grief, this is also your hope, that all who believe in Christ will not perish but have eternal life. That though you mourn today, you will rejoice at the day of the resurrection when Christ raises up that loved one and all who believe in him to live with him in righteousness and purity forever. And the same goes for you yourself. Whatever you face in your life, whether suffering, persecution, hardship, sickness, even death itself, that is your hope for yourself as well. We can die with confidence because Christ has died for us. We can die knowing that even if we face death itself, we will live forever with Christ. Because Christ is risen, you will rise with him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise as we say together the Nicene Creed.